Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I'm delighted to be with you on this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer, day when we take your prayer intentions and offer them up to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great time of year to be doing this. We're in the holy season of Advent, and we're only 5 days away from celebrating the coming of our Savior on Christmas Day, the coming of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Do you feel that peace yet? Do you feel that peace as you approach Christmas, huh? I know. It's a time of year that can be overwhelming, overwhelming. During this Christmas season, we have so much to do, don't we? And I know what we're doing. I think I know what you're doing. Can I guess? Can I take a guess? Okay. You're baking your cookies, okay? And that's fine. You bake those cookies because everybody loves your cookies. You have the best. You will have to make those little packs. Everyone says, save me some, save me some. And in between that, maybe you're writing some Christmas cards. Are you doing that too? And let's see, do you forget anything for Christmas dinner? You may have to run to the supermarket to get that done. And I hope you're not doing last-minute shopping. That's always very rough. That's always difficult. And the little ones, you know what you have to do. You have to take them to see Santa Claus. Santa Claus, and I don't have to tell you how long those lines are. So is that it? Are you finished doing, you know, what you have to do to prepare? No, you're decorating your house, putting up the Christmas tree. I remember one year I put the tree up with the balls and everything, and it was beautiful. It was a big tree. It was beautiful. And just as I finished, the lights went out. The lights went out. But you would think the lights could go out one at a time. No, they go pop. They give like a pop when they go out. And you just want to die. It's an awful, awful feeling. And the last thing, I think maybe the first thing, you're running to the bank, doing some running there too to get a little moolah, huh, to make everything go. Oh, my beautiful friends, what we really should be doing at this time of year, we could do the other things, but what we really should be doing is sometimes last on our list. Last. It may not even be on our list at all. And that's preparing ourselves spiritually to meet and greet our newborn King. And that is what Advent is all about. This whole month of December is we're spent preparing for our little King. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He wants to see change in our lives. He wants to see that from a year ago, maybe we've grown a little, maybe we've changed some things, huh? Now, believe me, my friends, I'm not judging you. No way, because I can also get caught up in all of that. And I know that feeling. I understand it perfectly. So, today I'm going to ask you, I take it right now, I hope you are now listening to our program, and I'm going to ask you to stay listening, because the program today can also be a preparation for Advent. With whatever is left in the month, yes, we can do a little preparing today for Advent. This is a time for us to get outside of ourselves, to get outside of the have-tos that we do, as we focus in on the theme of our day. This is our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer. Our brothers and sisters are in need of prayer. They've asked for prayer. And if you're familiar with the program, you know that that is what we do. We pray for them. And I'm going to ask you to be part of that prayer. You are part of the communion of saints, which means the saints in heaven are going to be praying for these intentions. The holy souls in purgatory are going to be praying for these intentions. And we're going to be praying for the holy souls also. And you are the church militant, and we need your prayers because you're going to be praying for these intentions. And when you hear them, you're in your heart, I think you're going to want to do that. And some of these intentions are very heavy. So I need you. I need you today. And I ask you in your hearts to join me. Join me in praying for them. And I know that the baby Jesus is going to like that. He's going to like the fact that you're praying for these intentions. And he will thank you for it. And I thank you for it. God bless you. Now, after we pray for these intentions, we have some right here. They come first. And after that, I am going to take you to Bethlehem. I'm going to take you to Bethlehem. And you will see Bethlehem as you've never seen Bethlehem before. Some of you may have, but others know. It is very interesting. The place where Jesus Christ was born. So I'm excited about sharing this with you. And as you know, we always begin with prayer. I love you. I'm so happy you are here with me today. And this prayer that I'm going to say here, this is a prayer to help us as we seek to find the Lord in a deeper way during this holy season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you came that we may have life and have it to the full, to the fullest. That is in Scripture. But Lord, a lot of things get in my way. Lord, sometimes I'm a dreamer. I deceive myself. I make excuses for myself. Sometimes I put things off. And I think that I can find life away from you. And I seek things that pull me down and take me away from the life that you offer me. And Lord, every year I repeat the same pattern, the same journey, the same decisions, the same obligations that leave me stressed and leave me angry with myself. So why should I expect different outcomes when I change nothing? Lord, I don't want to say these same words a year from now. Time is flying by. And it's hard for me to admit it. But I do want to change. I want to find that life that you offer, Lord. Show me how to do it. Show me how to find another way, Lord, that I may go back to those good things that I walked away from. Please give me the courage, Lord, to maybe go and talk to a priest. Maybe I could do midnight mass this year. I used to like that. Are you hearing me, Lord? I want to come back. I want that full life that you promised. You promised it, Lord. And you don't lie. I can feel it, Lord. You're waiting for me. You're waiting for me. Maybe this is the Advent that I come back to you. Come, Lord Jesus. I am ready. I am truly ready. Amen and amen. I have some telephone numbers here for you. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. I'm going to repeat them. 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. 2484. Now, as I said, we have prayer intentions. And again, I ask you to join me in praying for these intentions. And afterwards, we'll take a little trip to Bethlehem. A few years back, I was in concert in the Holy Land, and I'm going to share some very special moments on the birth of Jesus Christ at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. Now, we have some prayer intentions. I'm going to get them right here. And the first one here that I'm looking at, the first one is good news because it's an answer to prayer. It's an answer to a prayer we said. This was for Paisley. Paisley is only 5 months old, and Paisley needed a heart transplant. And the word we got from the family was that Paisley received her transplant and is doing very, very well. And we are so happy for that, as is the family. They're so happy with that result. And we prayed, this is about a month ago, we prayed through the intercession of Mother Cabrini. It was right around her feast day when we prayed for that. And to see that that child got that transplant is just so beautiful. And you know, Mother Cabrini, she loved little children, and she would do everything for them to survive. So as we approach the birth of the infant Jesus, we pray for Paisley's continued healing. And also there's another part to this. I don't know the whole story or the whole extent, but in order for Paisley to have received that heart, another child had to donate that heart. So we pray for that family, for whatever they may have gone through in having to surrender that child. But also to know that that child's heart is beating in Paisley. And you just get the chills when you think of that. So we pray for that family. We ask for many blessings to come upon them, Lord. We have here also, we're praying for Diane. Diane has ALS. And Diane went to the same high school that I did, St. Maria Goretti High School in South Philadelphia. I'm older than Diane. We were comparing notes as far as school. She's younger than me. And a friend, Mary DeAngelis, and I went to visit Diane. Diane is in the hospital. And we prayed with her. And it was so beautiful. She was on a ventilator. And it was difficult to see her that way. But she was on a ventilator, and she would give us a smile every once in a while. And Diane is a beautiful soul who loves the Lord. Now, just recently, as of yesterday, her son, Brian said that his mom has been off the ventilator and is able to speak. We are so thankful for that. He said she's doing very good, and she talks about getting a plan together for her to come home. So that's good news, Diane. If you're listening, God bless you. We love you. You are a very courageous lady. I enjoyed the time with you. And we even had that other wonderful thing happen. Your Aunt Mary was there. And I found out from your Aunt Mary that she knew my parents. She knew my mother and father. And she was also related to a sister of my father. She knew my father's sister. So all of these little family connections were happening with our visit to you, Diane. So you brought us together, and we're just going to continue praying for you. We're going to continue praying for you. And we will continue praying for Stephanie's family. Stephanie is a nurse, works at Children's Hospital. Stephanie's daughter, Erica, was tested for celiac disease. Now, Erica has two children. Ryan is 7 years old, and Ryan has autism. And the baby, her baby's 5 months old, MC, her name is MC, and she's showing signs of autism. And we're praying for both of them. Now, Erica's test showed that the growth that she has did not get any larger, and we're thankful for that. It stayed the same size, and we're thankful. We'll keep praying for that, Erica. We pray that you continue to get those good results, and we place your two children in the arms of the baby Jesus with the autism they have, that he brings peace and healing to your entire family. It's so, so beautiful. Beautiful family. We have more intentions here. These came through the phone line. Juanita is blind and is asking for prayers for herself and all others with afflictions. How beautiful. Juanita, God bless you, having to go through life without sight. But you can see because you know where to go. You're coming to the Lord for healing. You're coming to the Lord for your prayers to be answered, not only for yourself, but how unselfish you're asking for others who have afflictions. So we pray for you, Juanita. We pray for the strength that you need to go through what you're going through. And it's obvious that you're a very strong woman. You're a very blessed lady. And we will continue to pray for you, Juanita, especially during this holy season of Christmas. We have James is asking for prayers for healing for his leg, his foot, his back. He's in pain. James, you are in pain. And we pray for that. We pray that whatever's causing that, we hope you are being treated by a doctor. That doctor will know what to give you, how to handle that, that you're not taking the wrong thing, working on this by yourself, that maybe you have a prayer support in this. We're praying for Elizabeth, who is elderly. Elizabeth has extreme vertigo and also cannot tolerate very cold temperatures. Elizabeth, I believe we may have prayed for you before. We now see this additional thing with the vertigo. I once had vertigo. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And for you to be going through that, I hope you have someone with you. You say you are elderly, someone with you to be with you, to be there. You don't want to fall. And I hope, again, you also are with a doctor who knows what to give you. There are medications, I believe, they can give you for vertigo and dizziness and so on. And we pray that you're with someone who can help you along that path. And the Lord will guide you with that. Just ask the Lord to help you with this. I'm sure you have. You're doing it right now through these prayers. And to cold temperatures are awful. I don't like cold temperatures myself. I was complaining today as we were driving over here to do the program. It was cold getting in the car. So, Elizabeth, we pray for you. I pray for you, and I pray that you can just stay kind of bundled up. I know having heat on can be expensive, but just try to put an extra level or two of clothing on you to keep you warm. God bless you, Elizabeth. Praying for John, that John gets a better job. And we have another one in that vein. Praying for Paul. Paul's up in Massachusetts. We're praying for Paul that he gets a job that fits him. Apparently he can't get that certain something that is for him with the gifts he has. And same for you, John, that you get a job that pleases you, that you can get up in the morning and want to go to work because you like it so much. We pray for that. Stephanie asking for prayers for a gland infection, and the medicine is not helping her. So, let's see, a gland infection. There must be something for you, Stephanie. We ask the Lord to intervene here and to make the way, make the path for you to get to that right medication, that right doctor who can help you along the way. It's obvious you're on something. You are on something, but maybe something else is needed here. You say it's not helping you, and an infection, you want that taken care of. We continue to pray for you, Stephanie. Prayers for Roselle, whose cancer is spreading. May she have successful cancer treatments, healing of her leg and hip pain and weight gain. Please guide her doctors to find the best treatment plan for her. Amen. Amen. So we believe she has doctors, and with everything that's going on in her life, especially the cancer is spreading, and we just are believing that you are going to have successful cancer treatments, that they will know what to treat you with, what to give you to stop that spread. There's so many things out there today, and we're going to believe that something out there is there for you, Roselle, and you will have a healing of your leg and hip pain and the weight gain. Sometimes that can be helped. Sometimes it's difficult to help that, so especially when you're having treatments. So we will continue to pray for you, Roselle. And prayer for those who are homeless. Prayers for those who are homeless that they can find shelter in the extreme cold. That I can't even imagine being homeless and having to find shelter on the street. something in life, in our society, in some way, somehow, has to be done to help these people. Amen, amen, amen. We thank you. We're praying for, well, Connie. We prayed for Connie's granddaughter. Her name was Grace. That's a familiar name. Her name was Grace. Connie, a while back, we prayed for her. She had emotional problems. She had emotional problems. And we heard just today that Grace is doing very well. In fact, she has another job. She's working in another state. And she has a government job. And she's very happy with what she's doing. So that is an answer to prayer, because she was having emotional problems. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for these were the ones that came in on the prayer line that we just prayed for. We'll have some more here. We have, as you could see, thank God, we have a lot of prayers here. Just want to mention to you, a number of years ago, I was visiting the nun, a sister I had in kindergarten. Her name was Sister Rose Margaret. She was quite ill at the time, and she was in the infirmary in the mother house on Solly Avenue in Philadelphia. She was a missionary servant of the Most Blessed Trinity. They were called Trinitarians. Now, on special holidays, my dear friend Janet and I, in fact, my dear friend just passed about a month ago, and Janet and I would visit Sister, and we would give her some presents. She really liked that, and we enjoyed being with her. She went into the convent at a later age, so she had been out in the world. She had a job. She was learned on many topics, and we enjoyed speaking with her. Well, one day, as I was leaving the mother house, a Sister Bartholomew was coming through the door. Now, Sister Bartholomew was their development director, and what a ministry she had. She worked at the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and she placed over 4,000 children in adoption. Quite an incredible ministry. So she came in the door, and she said to me, and these were her words, she says to me, "Hey, paisano." She was Italian. She said, "Hey, paisano, how would you like to be in concert in the Holy Land?" Well, at first I said, "What? Did she say what I think she said? I'm not sure." So she repeated it. "How would you like to be in concert in the Holy Land?" I said, "A concert in the Holy Land, I would love that." "Yes, sister, that would be wonderful, wonderful." So she offered me the trip to the Holy Land. And she also offered it to my friend there, my friend. She was actually part of the ministry. She would help me when I would go for concerts on the road and so on. She was part of that ministry. And what an exciting gift we were offered. So when I went home that day, I told my two sisters, Dolores and Rita. They thought that was pretty neat. And they decided they wanted to come along. So they also came on the trip. Now, the point was that I was, different sites we were to go to in the Holy Land, I would sing a song at a given holy site, and it would be a song that would fit that site. And then I would do that for the different sites, and then when we would come to the end of the trip, on the last night, before we would come back to the States, I would give the main concert in the ballroom in a kibbutz hotel. It was to be the journey of a lifetime. And it truly was. Now, when we arrived in the Holy Land, the Trinitarian sisters had two buses. One was for the group from Philadelphia, of our group, and the other group was from Puerto Rico. The sisters did missionary work in many of the islands, and Puerto Rico was one of them. So these two buses were side by side, and we were going to go to all of the holy sites on those two buses. Well, on one of the days, when we arrived at our hotel in the evening, we had a lovely room. The room had a balcony. So the four of us decided to sit out on the balcony and enjoy the view. Now, when we got there, it was dark. We were up high. But in the distance, as you look below, we saw a small area down below. The lights were on in the homes. You could see the lights gleaming. And as we sat there, we could see stars going by in the sky. I want to tell you, It looked like a Christmas card. And suddenly it hit me. I said, wait a minute. That is Bethlehem down there. Bethlehem. And we were going to be going there the next day. It was so moving to see it from a distance, all lit up, like I said, on the cards. And we all felt that moment in our hearts. And that song came to us, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Well, the next morning, we headed for a very special sight. We were going to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And the Church of the Nativity was built over the site where Jesus Christ was born. Over the site where Jesus Christ was born. What a trip that was. It was just an incredible experience. Now, the original Church of the Nativity was built in the 3rd century, and that's how old it was. It was built by the Emperor Constantine and his mother, St. Helena. And as you know, St. Helena was the one who found the true cross, the cross that Jesus Christ died on. Now, that was in the 3rd century. And in the 6th century, that church was destroyed. And a new Church of the Nativity was built by the Emperor Justinian. And again, it was built over the site where Jesus Christ was born. That same site was recognized as the birthplace of Jesus, even before those churches had been built. Because Justinian, back in that year 160, had written about this spot. And 160, let's face it, when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't go up, didn't ascend immediately. He saw about 500 people. So, you know, word had spread to the apostles, the disciples, to St. Helena to have that church built. They knew that site. And that was the site that we were at that day. Now, as you enter the Church of the Nativity, you have to bend down low to get in because you had to show humility. Now, we're going to break for a minute. And don't go away. I have lots more coming.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus's love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. and we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
So as I said, the Church of the Nativity, you have to put your head down and bend low from your waist as you enter. Because you enter, it's called the Door of Humility. The church itself is very large. There are 45 columns in the church. Aren't any pews, but there are 45 columns. And the church is in the custody of three religions: the Greek Orthodox, the Roman Catholic Church, namely the Franciscans, and the Armenian Christian Church. There is so much to see there, so much. And each religion has its section that they are responsible for, that they have custody of. Now, in order to get to the site where Christ was born, there are caves under the Church of the Nativity. In fact, even in Bethlehem, people had dwellings they lived in, and then behind them were caves where they kept their animals and supplies and everything. The animals were right in those caves. So it wouldn't be so far-fetched that Jesus, born in a cave with animals around him, it was there. It was in Bethlehem. In times, it still is. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's something called the cave complex. And what is there is St. Jerome. If you recall, St. Jerome translated scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into the Latin, and it was called the Latin Vulgate. Well, St. Jerome lived under that Church of the Nativity for 30 years while he worked, did this work. He did an incredible work for the church to do that. And he lived in a cave. They said he had two rooms. He had a two-room cave. Can you imagine dampness down there and everything? But what they did for the love of their Lord, I want to tell you. And Jerome would also see, pilgrims coming there to visit the site where Christ was born. There's also a chapel of St. Joseph in the cave complex. There's a chapel of the Holy Innocents, the little children who were killed by Herod. There are bones and tombs in that area. And then there's the Church of St. Catherine of Alexandria. Now that church, by one wall, is adjacent to the Church of the Nativity. They're connected by one wall. And when you hear that midnight mass is being said at the church in the Holy Land, now not the one at the Vatican, when mass is being said in Bethlehem, that midnight mass is said at the Church of St. Catherine. And the Catholic Church, the Franciscans, have custody of that church. So when you hear that, you'll know it's the Church of St. Catherine. Now, when you are about to approach the Grotto of the Nativity, where Christ was born, you are so overwhelmed. You are there, and you approach it in silence. You go down a few steps. I'm going to show it to you. It is different. It's not what you're expecting to see. It's not like the greeting cards that you see, okay? But it is the spot, and I'm going to explain it. I'm going to show it to you. Let's see, get this up like this. There. Be a little tough to hold it like this. Hope you can see that. Okay, put forward. That is, you would be standing in front of that. Well, that's marble covering the cave. That's marble. That marble goes 12 feet across and 3 feet deep. Now, you don't walk in there. The star, there's a star with 14 points. You can see that in the center. Right there, the star. That star has 14 points, and they represent 3 sets of 14 generations of the genealogy of Jesus. 14 stars, 14 points from Abraham to David, 14 points from David to the Babylonian captivity, and 14 points to the coming of Jesus Christ. It is just so beautiful, that star. In the middle is a circular hole. You can reach in and touch that. You don't walk in there, but there's a way you lie down and move in that you can reach and touch the stone that is in that hole. You see that right there. You can touch that. Now, around that star right here, circular wise, in Latin, it says, Hic de Virgine Maria Jesus Christus natus est, which means, here Jesus Christ was born to the Virgin Mary. Now, there are sanctuary lamps hanging down. They are put out on feast day and also in honor of the three religions who have custody there of that church, of that area. Now, usually curtains on both sides, but they're not in the picture, but there are curtains on both sides. They kind of narrow the area where you go in. And behind the sanctuary lamps, if you could see them, there are like paintings, but they're old. They've been restored. They were really terrible, and they had to be restored, and they have been. There's been a multi-million-dollar project to restore this Church of the Nativity and the Grotto of the Nativity. It's also very beautiful, very moving, very touching. And the beautiful thing is you are permitted to stand in the front here. You're standing here. You can get down on your hands and knees and move in slowly to touch the spot where Jesus Christ was born. Or you can kiss the spot where he was born. And of course, I felt to do that in my heart. I wanted to do that, as did my two sisters, Dolores and Rita. They individually, you go there by yourself, individually they kiss the spot. And as did my dear friend Janet. We all had that moment with the Lord, basically, because in your heart you're so moved, you're so touched, you can't believe you're there. And it's a moment like none other. I mean, you just know you'll probably never get there again. And we all shared that same feeling of what we were experiencing. It was just so special, so holy. And, you know, to think that this is the spot. I will say it 10 times. It's the spot. It was there before the church was even born and carried down just by word of mouth from the apostles, the disciples, to the people who were around there at the time. And then with St. Helena and Constantine putting the church over it. And as I said, now the other church is there by Justinian. So it really, really has been an incredibly beautiful experience. If you ever have the chance to go there, to get there to that church or to any of the sites in the Holy Land, they are just so, so very special. Really, so special. Now, once we finished doing that, we stepped back. We were so, you're just in silence. We stepped back. You felt like you were against a wall there. And you just stood still because our other bus arrived. The group from Puerto Rico arrived. And we stepped back. We let them go forward. And again, they did what we did. Got on their hands and knees, kissed the spot. And they were so moved. And then all of a sudden, they started singing Silent Night in Spanish. Well, we didn't speak Spanish. We sang. We sang along with them. And it was just, it just blended together. We had tears coming down our faces. All of us did. And there was quite a group down there. And we were just feeling that moment. And what I'm going to ask you to do right now, this is a moment you may never get to, a place you'll never get to. This is the spot where Jesus Christ was born of Mary, and Joseph was there. And now can you see why I say the animals? The people who lived in Bethlehem had animals in caves there. So it was so normal that these beautiful animals were right beside Jesus as he was born. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say a couple of prayers. And as I pray them, I want you who are watching and you on the radio, I'm sure you're hearing my words and you're picturing what I'm telling you. In fact, if you go to your laptop when we're finished and if you search for the Grotto of the Nativity in Bethlehem, this is what will come up. I'm going to say a couple of prayers, and while I do, I'm going to ask you to offer to Jesus whatever's in your heart, whatever prayer you want to say. If it's a health issue, an issue for a job, and someone who needs someone who wants to have a child, or anything you want to ask Jesus for, do that as I just say these couple of simple prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Amen. Amen. And amen. And put this here. Hope you maybe can still see it. So, my friends, this is very special. Christmas is coming. Look at that. Look what you're looking at today. And those of you on the radio, look what you're going to look at when you Google it. Now, we quietly left the Church of the Nativity to go back to our buses. They were parked in Manger Square. And speaking of manger, you probably wonder, well, where's the manger? The manger is in the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome. Santa Maria Maggiore. In Rome, what they have is they have a glass manger shaped like a manger, and inside are five pieces of wood that are from the original manger of Jesus Christ. And what the Pope did, Pope Francis did, he had him take one of those pieces of wood and give it to Bethlehem. So one of the pieces is in the Church of St. Catherine of Alexandria, the church I just told you about. And it looks like it's in something like a monstrance. And the one piece of wood is hanging down. So you have part of that manger in Rome and in Bethlehem. It is you're just speechless when you see what our faith is so beautiful. Our faith is so wonderful that we have all of this to cling to. It's just that what the Lord so beautifully left us because he loves us. He loves us so much. So we were now in the parking lot. We got in the bus. Went in the buses. Now, my little group, my sisters, my friend, and myself, we were sitting at the back of the bus. And the other people were sitting up front and middle and so on. And this manger square is quite large. In fact, on Christmas Eve, people of all faiths gather there and they sing Christmas carols. They sing Christmas carols. So all of a sudden, we're sitting back there. The bus hadn't moved yet. We're sitting there. And a young man comes in the bus. Comes in. And he's all excited, right? So he comes in the bus and he's holding this. Something like this. Here we go again. Show and tell. Look at this. This is a nativity set made of olive wood. And he's running in the bus and he's saying to us, two nativity set, $5. Two nativity set, $5. He was selling two of these with the figures of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the baby. Look at that. Olive wood for $5. Well, the people in the bus were sure going to get a bargain, huh? They had first dibs at it, you know. But we were happy because we wanted to take beautiful something, you know, spiritual things back from the Holy Land to our family and friends. This was perfect, you know. So, okay, then they ran out of the bus, and people up front had their nativity sets. They were out, and then he comes back in the bus, and he's holding another one. He's saying, three nativity set, $5. Now he's selling three of them for $5. It's like, oh, my goodness. Well, of course, we're still in the back, though. The people in the middle are now getting these nativity sets for $5. And I said, well, what's going on? Like, he runs out of the bus again. And we're saying, what is going on? We're trying to peep Well, guess what? They had a place out there, this little table. They were making them as they went along. They had the little pieces, they had the little figures, and they were gluing them together. The glue was fresh. They were putting fresh glue, and then they'd run in the bus to sell them. So next thing you know it, they run in the bus, and they're saying, four nativity set, $4 or $5. Well, now it's our turn. We're in the back here. So we have four nativity sets, and we were so excited. I mean, remember now, just so you don't think we were cheap or something, we did give them more than $5. You had to do that. These were so beautiful. They touched our hearts. We rejoiced. We were so happy. And the thing was, they put them in a bag for us. They put them in a bag, bags, I should say. But you were careful not to squeeze them, not to hold them like this and squeeze them, because they would fall apart. The figures would fall off. They were only glued. They were just glued. But we were so happy to have them, you know. It was really so exciting that they were doing that. Now, just, I want you to just think about this for a minute. We just came from a holy, reverential experience in the grotto of the Nativity, where Jesus Christ was born. It was so solemn. We were so touched. We had tears coming down our faces. We left there so quiet, what we had just experienced, you know. Then all of a sudden, I believe the Lord just poured out the joy, his joy, out of this moment, from the solemnity of the Nativity in the grotto to the joy of the Nativity in the bus. There it is. My friends, you can't make this up. You cannot make this up. Is this wonderful? Look how beautiful. Now, this is one I got after that. I gave the other ones away, but this is what they look like, and you can get them. You go on your computer or wherever. You could look up olive wood. See this little thing? It's heavy. This is heavy. The big ones are very expensive. But this was such a gift. It was really such a gift. And so then we were singing on the bus. We were laughing. We feel the Lord filled us with that joy. He gave us this incredible moment. We went back to the hotel. Let me put this here. And we put our presents in our room, And then we went down to dinner, had something to eat. And when we came up from dinner, we returned to our room. And as we opened the door, the smell of glue was all over the place. It was unbelievable. But again, it reminded us of the wonderful day that we just had. It was so special. And, you know, we were talking about Lent, and we were talking about, you know, surrendering yourself to the Lord. Sometimes it's so hard for us to turn our lives over to Jesus. We don't know what he's going to ask of us, and we're afraid. It's a common feeling. But the God who created you could only want for you everything that will renew you, restore you, and fill you in a way you've never known before. Look what he showed us. Who expected that? And you could begin by asking him to help you to trust him. Ask him to help you to trust him. Gift me, Lord, with childlike trust, the precious trust I need so much. I'd like to sing for you a song that calls us to that trust. Jesus, I trust in you. I'm going to ask Patrick. Patrick's over there working hard. Patrick is our engineer. And on a CD, he's going to play my song, singing Little Jesus Christ Child Boy.
Thank you. Christ child born, childlike faith, childlike joy. Gift me, Lord, with childlike trust, the precious trust I need.
Gift me, Lord, with childlike trust, the precious trust I need so much. I have a couple more prayer intentions here. Praying for Fran's grandchild, his daughter Kristen's child. Child's name is Emma. And over the last couple of weeks, Emma, she's about 4 years old. She had been upsetting for a week, taken to the ER. In fact, when she was born, she was on a feeding tube for 3 or 4 months. Her little belly can't handle viruses. So this week, she was dehydrated. They put her on an IV. They did a CAT scan. Her CAT scan was normal, thank God. The blood work was off because she was dehydrated. So we've been praying for Emma. She's the sweetest thing. I mean, children that they have, the three little children, the three of them could do little commercials. They're so precious. And anyway, so we're praying for her. She can put on a little weight. She has trouble putting on the weight. And sometimes this happens with children, and we're just going to believe that little Emma is going to be a better time for her. I know that family, and it's a beautiful family. It's, in fact, my brother's probably his best friend. And it's just a wonderful. I'm glad to be able to pray like this for Emma and the family right now. Just so wonderful. For Landon, continue praying for Landon. Landon, a little boy who seemingly had been cured of cancer, and then it came back. And I saw a photo of him. I was shown a photo of him yesterday, and he was holding that one of these things kids hold. It said five. So Landon, we've been praying from three when he first started with the cancer. 5 years old. Happy birthday, Landon. That picture of him, he looked so adorable. So much personality. Just so, so wonderful. Amen and amen. And pray for the repose of the soul of Esther Zabekian. Esther passed at the age of 94. She's my niece's mother-in-law, and I attended her funeral service at the Armenian Apostolic Church in North Jersey. What a beautiful service that was. Even at her age, what a great conversationalist. I love speaking with Esther. She accomplished so many things in her life. Deeply spiritual woman, and I pray eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Well, you know, on Christmas Eve, a candle is lit in Bethlehem in the Church of the Nativity, and then it's carried around the world. Well, Father John Paul from EWTN said a young man was chosen to carry this. They had a number of men doing it. He carried it to his elderly neighbor. She was estranged. She was abandoned for years. She was alone and very sad. And he said when he handed her that candle, she was so deeply moved. She said she had not seen the kindness shown her that way in years. She reflected on how long she waited for something like this to happen, for that flame to be brought to her to bring her love, joy, and kindness. He said he made her day, and it restored her hope that someone cared enough for her, even thought that she existed. My friends, what a reflection of what Advent is. That's a story for Advent, because it not only changed her, it changed him. He had no idea what a profound effect it would have on her. There are many people out there like her. So today I'm going to ask you, try that Advent challenge. Go on an Advent challenge, and you will experience change like you never had before. You know, they have all these crazy challenges on TV. Do this challenge. You do an Advent challenge and reach out to someone in need, because you're giving someone the tiny hands, the heart, the love of the baby Jesus. God bless you. Now, let's see. We have a... Let's see, I'll try this little poem. If it ends, it ends. I'll try getting it out. It's a short one. This is Jesus speaking to you. My dear one, I do love you so much. I wish you so many things. And I forgive you for so many others. From now on, think only about serving me. And throughout your life, remember the kindness I'm showing you. Have recourse to me through my mother. Through the voice of my mother, I will always hear you. And I will take you to heaven to reign